Happy Sabbath, Church. The scripture reading, it's from 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm reading the New King's Version. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. It's good to be here. For those of you who don't remember me, my name is Pastor Gomez. It's good to be back. I'm just happy to be here today. I had somebody say to me, "Pastor, you signed the guest book." I was like, "What? The guest book?" Amen. Well, you know, after 2 weeks in camp meeting and about 2 weeks in Texas, we are happy to be back. Camp meeting, then there was a pastor's convention, and then the GC. And let me tell you, if it was my first time going to the GC ever, and what a blessing. What a blessing. I'm sure that Annette and Pastor Hugh can say the same thing. We were blessed in how things were done down there. It was great, such a blessing for us. And I need to say that if you've never been there, you need to plan. You need to make plans to go. Okay, you need to be there. You need to be there. Hopefully, next one will be in heaven. Amen. Amen. But if no, the next one will be in Indianapolis. So let's all make a plan to be there. Great, great, great time. So I'm just happy to be back home, to be back in church today. I don't know, but it seems to me that I was gone for a really long time. Yeah. Thanks. Yes, about 4 weeks. But, you know, when I was thinking about my topic today, and I was thinking, you know, for the last 4 weeks that I was out, things that happened around us, and I wasn't able to share with the church, and now I'm come back, and man, all this happened. I mean, of course, I was aware that this was going on, but it's amazing how our world is changing so much. It's moving so fast. And let me just talk about what happened while I was gone. I'm sure that some of you remember the shooting in South Carolina, where 9 people got killed during a Bible study and prayer meeting. Think about that. 9 people dead in a church during a Bible study and prayer meeting. And I'm thinking about this, and I was reading the story, and it's amazing. They were saying that the guy came, right? He sat down. He was there. He prayed with the brothers and sisters there. He read the Bible. They read the Bible together. Everything was going well. Think about this. We are happily, you know, studying the Bible, singing and praising God, and all of a sudden, all this happened. And the Bible study, prayer meeting in a church. And I'm sure that some of you remember, or all of you remember, what happened on Friday, June 26th. And we learned that the Supreme Court ruled by a 5-4 vote that the Constitution guarantees a right to same-sex marriage. I'm thinking about this, and it's like, what's going on? And I'm thinking about this, and I say, you know, our thing is right. Watch and pray. Jesus is coming again. We probably need to add something else. He's coming, but he's coming very soon. So we better be ready. There's something else that happened while I was gone. So I'm sure that some of you remember, both most of you remember, when Pope Francis said, you know, God has instructed me to revise the Ten Commandments. That was just a couple of weeks ago. The Pope said this, that God has entrusted him to revise, to change, to verify the Ten Commandments. Very interesting. And I was reading more about this, and one of the things that he was saying is that he need to change the word in the Ten Commandments, how things need to be different. He need to present our Ten Commandments in a different way for our society today, and for our church today, for our world today. And, you know, we know that everything's going to start saying that we need a day of worship. The family need a day to rest. And he also said that one of the things that he need to change there is the fact that the Bible mentioned that, you know, we're not supposed to be in a relationship out of the marriage. So he's saying that he's going to work all that stuff, so he can put there that if you are married to somebody with the same sex, that it's okay for you, you know, to be forgiven, because we need to see the grace of God. And I'm thinking, man, this is going down very soon. And of course, just last week, we just learned about another shooting in Tennessee, where four Marines officers were killed. In fact, this shooting took place at one of those Adventist Review down in Tennessee. And hopefully none of the staff got hurt. But this is something that we need to pay attention to. Everything that's going on, I think it's a good time for us to be aware, to watch and pray, and to stand up. It is time for a revival in our church. It is time for a revival in our life, in our hearts. It is time for us to pray more, to search for God even more in our lives. Today I want to talk about if my people pray. If my people pray. Let's pray together. Father, now is your time. Speak to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please come with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. This is very well known for us, so I'm going to share with you from this text. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, and it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Very interesting. See, when you read chapter 7 in the book of Chronicles, it's very powerful. Because this word from God just took place after the dedication of the temple. You remember that? Solomon was praying. And the Bible said that as soon as the prayer was over, the glory of God came to the temple. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that's a dream come true right there when you pray. After you're done praying, can you imagine seeing that? The glory of God come and fill your house, fill your life. That's what's happening after Solomon was done with his prayer. The Bible says that the glory of God came. In fact, it was so powerful that the priests had to stay outside. They couldn't get in. The glory of God was in the temple. Can you imagine if we pray with that kind of power? What would happen? If we pray with that kind of power, that the glory of God will be felt in this temple, in this church. Yes, in our home, in our life. What a powerful description we have here. Now, this is very interesting, because this text is talks about revival in our church. We can use this topic to talk about revival. It's very well known, and we know that God has promised those who turn from their sins, call on Him, and walk in His way, they will experience a revival of the presence, a blessing of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I believe that today we need to experience a revival in our church, in our life. We need to have this experience of the presence of God and blessing, of course. Now, we know that the verse was for Israel, right? But yes, we can use the same text for us today. Now, we have to meet certain conditions for us to receive this blessing. Now, the question is, are we ready to do our part to receive these blessings? Are we ready to do what it takes just to be able to see God in our life, in our heart? Are we ready to do this? There's some steps that we must accomplish, that we must take. Revival. We need a revival today. Ellen G. White said that this is our greatest need, a revival in our midst. We cannot produce a revival. We don't have the power for that. We need to meet certain requirements according to this verse. Let me say first that the text says clearly that if my people, which are called by my name, let me ask you, whose people is the Bible talking about? Who's that? Us. And as I like to say, us, the sons and daughters of God, those who follow Him and live for Him, those are the people who got called by His name. We are a special people, you know. We are very important in God's eye. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We are a special people. We are the people of God, and we are called to represent the kingdom of God on earth. We have a really high calling, and we must represent this calling. Yes, we represent the kingdom of grace on earth. I need to say that again. We, as a church, represent the kingdom of grace on earth. We represent the kingdom of glory. We represent the kingdom of peace. We represent the kingdom of love and compassion. We represent the kingdom of justice. It's good to know that we represent the kingdom of justice. Because in the kingdom of justice, we are our equals in the front of our Lord and Savior. Equal. It means that a person is considered to be the same as another in a status, quality, or value. In the eyes of the Lord, we are our equal. We must represent our Lord with the highest sense of commitment and responsibility. And let's be honest about this. A true representative of God will always be a humble person. So the first step to receive the blessing of God is that we need to humble ourselves. And we talk about this today in our Sabbath school. I was listening to the discussion and how we are called to humble ourselves. What happens if we humble ourselves every day? We need to be humble. We need to be humble. Now, if you want to be humble, you need to know, you need to understand that there's something that we have to deal with. And that is something that we call pride. Pride. Sometimes there are people who think more than themselves and their abilities than, the, than the God can do for them. There are always people saying, you know, I know that I can do this. I know that I'm capable of doing that. I know that I'm strong. I'm wise. I have this and I have that. They always put the pride first. They never give the glory and thanks to God. They say, I do not need God. I can make my own way. I know best. I can call my own shots in my life. I know how to do this. The truth is, and the sad thing is, that we in church, sometimes we are full of pride. We are filled with pride. And we have this mentality that we don't need each other. You know, we have learned how to function without the help of the Lord. We don't think that, you know what, I don't need somebody, anybody to pray for me. Nobody need to come to my house and visit me. I'm good. Just stay there. Pride. And sometimes we'll struggle with this. We have some situations in our life when we are afraid to share with somebody else what's going on with us. Pride. We don't have the confidence enough to let our brothers and sisters, listen, I want you to pray for me. This is what's going on in my house. Please take time and pray for me. Let me share with you what's going on in my life. No, the pride is too strong for us. We need to do something with that. Pride always refuses to listen. Pride likes to talk about himself all the time. Pride has an intense desire to be noticed. Oh, you know what I did last week? Oh, that was me. Oh, you know how church is looking so nice and clean? That was me. Always trying to impress others. Pride believes that it deserves everything. Pride is not thankful. Pride cannot be corrected. Pride does not like to follow instructions. Pride criticizes and tries to make himself look good by putting others down. Pride thinks on your own needs first. Pride. We need to deal with that. We need to humble ourselves. If we follow Jesus' example, we need to learn how to be humble. Think about it. Jesus, the King of Kings, came down to this world and humbled himself. He walked with us. He humbled himself. He left the glory, the seed of mercy and glory in the heaven, just to come down to us. What a humble God we serve. It's a funny story that I found, very interesting. I'm sure that some of you, most of you know the great boxing boxer, Muhammad Ali. There's always a funny story about him. And this one in particular was very interesting. The story says that he was on an airplane standing up. And a flight attendant came and said, Mr. Ali, it's time for us to the airplane. The airplane needs to go. We need to go. It's time for us to take off. So why don't you go back to your seat and buckle up? Because we need to go. And he said, he looked at her, kind of funny. And he said, honey, Superman don't need seatbelt. And she looked at him and said, yeah, Superman don't need no airplane either. So sit down and buckle up. We're talking about pride. Pride. Now, God has a better plan for us. He calls his people to humble themselves. The word humble means to bend the knee, to bring down, to place self under another. You get that? To bend the knee, to bring down, to put ourselves under authority. Pride will not allow the person to bow their knee to the Lord. So if you want to go to the Lord, if you want to understand what God can do for you, you need to humble yourself. You need to just go down before God, humble yourselves, bring down everything, bend your knee. God desires his people to take whatever steps necessary to bring themselves under his authority. He wants us to know that we cannot do it by ourselves. He wants us to know that we depend upon him for everything that we do. He wants us to bend to his authority in our lives. That's what the church needs today. God's people need to realize that we are nothing when God found us. We were nothing. We were nothing without him. And we cannot accomplish anything apart from him. Everything that we have is because of him. So we need to give all the praise and glory to him. We need to humble ourselves. The second part says that we need to pray. If my people who are called by my name, they humble themselves and pray. And we've been talking about prayer for quite some time now, right? I've been talking about this. And every time that I come up, I always talk about prayer so far. So pray. Do you think it's important for us to pray? Yes. Are we praying the way that's supposed to be praying? Are we doing that today? What are we waiting for to start praying, to have a revival in our church? What are we waiting for? We know what's coming. So this is the thing. There's some things that we don't need to pray for. I need to say that again. What are you saying, Pastor? Yes, we'll be praying for a really, really, really long, long, long time about that Jesus is coming again. Amen? We know that he's coming. So we'll be praying about it. We'll be having Bible study about it. We'll be studying his word. We know that he's coming. He's coming soon. So we don't need to pray anymore about it. We know that he's coming. Only thing that we need to do is just be ready for that day. There are some things that you don't need to pray for. You just need to be ready. Well, the prophet is saying some stuff now. Well, it's a good time for us to pray. No. Well, you know, he's going to change this and that. You know what? We have been praying for a long time. The church is called to be ready. We need to be ready. We know this is coming. Let me ask you something. We have some fire exit here, right? Can we? Yes, we do, right? Somewhere. So let's say trust me, I'm not doing anything crazy. I will not experience anything. But let's say that we have a fire here. It's a fire going on in church. What would you say? Would you say, Pastor, can we have a word of prayer before we... What would you say? I don't know about you, but I'll be running. I'm going to look for the first exit sign and I'll be running. Because God told me what I need to do in this situation. What I need to do is run. Because it's time is now for us to be ready. So we need to be ready, brothers and sisters. The fire is already here. It's time for us to be ready. But what if we pray more? What will happen if we pray more? It's very interesting because people always ask questions. Why we need to pray? If God knows everything, why do we need to pray? Well, he knows what's going to happen. He knows exactly when it's going to happen. So why do we need to pray? I thank God that we don't need to understand prayer in order for us to pray. We just need to pray. Yes, why do we need to pray though? First, let me tell you the reason why you don't need to pray. You don't need to pray to impress God. Amen? You don't need to pray to impress God. Yeah, there's some people, members that you know, family members, whatever, that they put such a nice prayer together. Man, when they pray, you are like, man, this is powerful. The people say, you know, God Almighty, the creator of the universe, you who came down to earth, you who did this, you who did the seas and the, and you're like, man. Now let me tell you something. You are not impressing God. He already know what he did. You cannot impress him. We don't need to pray to inform God. Now, let me tell you, maybe you are too busy taking care of some other sin. So let me tell you what's going on. Listen, this is going on in my family right now. So let me just give you an update how things are going right now, okay? Listen, see, you know, there is a struggle in my family right now. I want you to know that this is happening, this is going on. Oh, yeah, in my work too, I have struggle in work. I don't know how to deal with people there. So you don't need to inform God about all that. He already know. So what is the reason that we pray then? What is the reason that we pray? If we don't pray to impress God, if we don't pray to inform God, why do we pray? Somebody have an idea? Why do we pray? To let him know that we trust him. Amen to that. Somebody else? Yes? Yes, to open a conversation. Good, I like that. I like that. Ellen G. White said that when we pray, we are talking to God as his what? Our friends, right? Let me tell you something. When you talk to your friends, how often you do that? I'm not talking about somebody that you know. I'm talking about a friend, a real friend. How often do you talk to that friend? Every day, all the time, yes? What do you talk about? Anything, everything, right? Families, work, how things are going in school, everything, right? Now, you're having a conversation with your friends, right? So, you're talking to him. So, at one point, you need to stop talking and do what?
Listen.
But us, oh mercy, us, when we talk to God, we just like to talk to him. But the listen part, we don't really like that. Let me tell you what's going on, God. Let me tell you this and this and that. Well, I'm done praying. That's it. No, you need to sit down and listen to him. See, I think sometimes we are afraid to listen what God needs to say. It is when you talk to your parents or somebody that you really know, and you start talking, oh, I can't deal with this person. You start talking and talking. And then he's like, okay, let me tell you what I think about it. And you're like, I'm not sure if I want to listen what you need to say. We need to listen. We talk to him, but we listen. That's what friends do, okay? We have this communication. We have this conversation. So when you talk to God, you are praying to him, right? Somebody mentioned that we are asking God to do what? To come in our life, right? Actually, that's what a prayer is. You pray to God because you want God to be in your life. You inviting God to come and be part of who you are. That's what we pray for. Yeah, you don't pray to impress God. You don't pray to inform God. You pray to invite God into your life. We pray because when we pray, we experience fellowship with him. We work together. We listen to each other. Have you experienced that fellowship with God? When you pray to him, you develop a really deep relationship with him. When you pray to him, you depend on God. God wants to live our lives just trusting in him. We need to understand that. We are called to pray. That's our job. Pray. Pray for our friends. Pray for our family. Pray for our church. We need to pray. We need to pray to invite God to come and be part of who we are. We need to pray because there's a lot of brothers and sisters out there that need to hear about God. And our job, as we represent God on earth, we need to reach out to them. We need to reach out to them. The Bible says that we are the light of the world, are we? And we are living, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that every day this world is just getting dark and dark and dark and dark. So this is a time for us to shine. This is a time for us to shine. We cannot hide ourselves. We cannot hide ourselves anymore. We need to let the world know who we are and what we do. We represent the kingdom of God. We need a revival in our life. We need a revival in our church. The next part of the text says, God's people are told to seek his face. The word seek means to search out, to look into. Are we searching ourselves? Are we looking for God? We are called to make God our first and most important priority in our life. We need a revival. But if we need a revival in our life, in our church, we need to search for God. We need to look for him. We need to understand more about him. We need to learn more about him. You see, revival does not come to people who seek a revival. Are you getting this? Revival does not come to people who seek a revival, but to people who seek God. We need to seek God if we want a revival in our life. We need to seek God if we want a revival in our church. See, far too many people are caught up with God, what God can do for them. But seeking his face means that we are hungry for him. He wants us to love him for who he is. Are you in love with Christ? Are you in love with your God? Are you in love with yourself, with Savior? Are you in love with Jesus? Are you in love with him? Are you excited about God? Are you excited about church? Are you excited about heaven? Are you excited about sharing with others that Jesus is coming soon? Are you excited about all this? I don't know about you, but I believe that we need to be excited about God, about Jesus, about church, about brothers and sisters. We need to be excited every day. We have something to live for. We need a revival in our life. We need a revival in our church. Then the Bible says that we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to understand that we need to come clean before God. Yes, we know that God accepts us the way we are. We just need to come the way we are. Yeah, we understand that. But when you understand that God forgives you, when you understand that God can heal you and God can do all great things for you, you need to come clean. You need to let him know, God, I have done something wrong. I need forgiveness. I need you in my life. We need repentance. See, because we are good with our excuses. Well, God, let me tell you what happened. Let me explain to you what was the reason that I did that. Let me explain to you why the reason why I talked that way. Well, let me explain. So we were always trying to make an excuse. We are good with excuses. And we are quick to justify our behavior. But we are slow to fall before the Lord and confess our sins and receive his forgiveness. He will never bless us with a revival until we are ready to come clean before God. We must come clean before our sins. We must come clean about our sins before God. We need to do this. Turn. We need to turn. We need to seek the face of God. We need the presence of God in our lives. Seek the face of God. Are you getting this? What is the meaning of that faith? Just try to seek the face of God. It means that we're going to follow His directions. It means that we're going to obey His commands. Seeking the face of God means that we are willing to follow Him. We need to turn our ways. We need to let God to take control in our hearts, in our mind. We need to put God first. We need to let God be the center of our church, our home, and of course our lives. We need to let God to take control of who we are and what we do. If my people pray. If we pray more, we will love each other more. If we pray more, we will thinking about how we're going to reach others. And we will have less. We will have less preoccupation in our minds on what's going on in GC, what's going to happen next week, what's going to happen with this and that. Our mind needs to be set on God. We are called to represent our God in earth. If we pray more, our heart will be changed. If we pray more, we will accomplish great things for the glory of God. If we pray more, we will find the ways to reach out to others. If we pray more, we'll be a great example of Jesus' love. No matter where you are. If we pray more, we'll be clear Christian, honest. People will see a Christian here in church on Sabbath. When you pray more, when you have this relationship with God, people will see a Christian here sitting on Sabbath. And the same person that will sit here, it will be the same person that we'll see outside. Because sometimes we act one way when we're in church, and we act one different way when we are away from church. Somebody know what I'm talking about. We need to ask God to come in our lives. We need to humble ourselves. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the last part says, then I will hear from heaven. Can you imagine that? Our Lord is paying attention to us. I need to say that again. Our Lord will pay attention to us when we humble ourselves, when we pray, when we seek His face. When we turn from our wicked ways, He will pay attention to us. And He will forgive our sins. And He will heal our land. What a great blessing to know that our God pays attention to us. He's listened to us. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to be ready because His time is near. He is coming again. He is coming again. So, Joy of Troy, if you humble yourselves and if you pray and if together we seek the face of God and we turn from our wicked ways, our God will hear our prayer and He will forgive our church. What a great blessing. It is time for us to stand up to speak up and to let the world know that we are a special people, that we are ready to go home. But on our way home, we're going to take as many as we can to meet our Savior, Jesus Christ, our King. God bless. The company of the Son and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen.